to get off the subject, but there was one picture where they took the slaves. They were on this ship, and they knew if they fed them well and exercised them well, that they would be worth more. And they, when they sold them, and also they would get more out of them if they were physically fit. So what did they do to make them physically fit on the ship? They made them dance. And it shows a picture of the slaves just dancing. They're standing there with their arms folded, looking at them and making them dance, dance. We need to know why we dance. We need to know what happened that started all that. But let me get started. Let me begin. Again, my name is Sister Catherine Hoxhaney. The name of the program is Breakthrough. I'm hoping that Sister Newton or Sister Martin is on the line. Hope one of them are on the line or both of them are on the line. But we're going to get started. Again, this is Breakthrough, Black History Month. Slavery has plagued human history for thousands of years. During the colonization of Americas, more than 12 million Africans were stolen from their homelands and forced to work in plantation colonies. What was it like to be enslaved? How did people endure such hardship? Can you imagine? How did they? It says, an enslaved person is someone who has had his or her freedom taken away and is forced to work for a master or owner. Slavery is as old as human civilization. It says, every slave has tasks to do. Everyone has one task, sometimes two, sometimes three. You have to work till your task is through. If slaves don't do tasks, they get licking with lash on their naked back. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to share some inserts with you of different stories, slavery, real people, and their stories on enslavement. I'd like to welcome you again to Breakthrough. There is trouble all over this land. Oh, there is trouble all over this land. Oh, help us, Jesus. There is trouble all over this land. There is trouble all over this land. But I ain't gonna lay my vision down. Journeyed on at God's command, let my people go. And came at length to Canaan land, let my people go. Come on, Moses, go down, Moses, way, way down in Egypt land, tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. Oh, let us all from bondage flee, let my people go. Let us all in Christ be free. Let my people go. Oh, Moses, go down. Moses, need you to go way down to Egypt land. Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, let me tell you something I was thinking. God is saying the very same thing today. He's telling to get up, put our boots on the ground, and tell them about him, and let my people go. Let the people that are far from me come. But you know what we're saying? I don't feel like it. We're telling the Lord, can't you text Pharaoh? All you got to do is text him. You mean to tell me you can't? Come on. I shouldn't have to walk down there. Send him a text. I shouldn't have to go down. What about you? What about your cell phone, email? You part of the Red Sea. What about a cruise ship? What about renting a car? God is calling us to go today and free people so that when he comes back again, we have done our work. We're going to be responsible for this. Let me share some things with you. These are excerpts of the stories that I'm going to tell you. Because one of the first things that I remembered was my pappy waking up in the middle of the night, dressing me in the dark, all the time telling me to keep quiet, be quiet. One of the twins hollered some, and pappy put his hand over his mouth to keep it quiet. After we was dressed, he then went outside and peeped around for a minute. Then he came back and got us. We sneaked out of the house and along the woods path, pappy toting one of the twins and holding me by the hand, and mammy carrying the other two. I reckon that I will always remember that walk with the bushes slapping my legs, the wind sighing in the trees, and the hoot owls and the whippoorwills hollering at each other from the big trees. I was half asleep, but I sure was scared. Whoa, you talking about scared? But in a little while, we passed a plum thicket, and there was mules and a wagon. There was a quilt at the bottom of the wagon, and on it they lay. We three youngins, Pappy and Mammy, got into the board across the front and drives down the road. This really happened to me when I was a little bitty child. Oh, I was sure sleepy, but I was scared too. And as long as we was riding along, I listened to Pappy and Mommy talk. I listened to them pray. I listened to Pappy telling Mama about Yankees coming to their plantation, burning the corn cribs, the smokehouses, just tearing up and just tearing up, destroying everything. He says, right low they came, took Master Jordan down near Norfolk. Daddy stole the mules and wagon and escaped. We were scared of the Yankees to start with. But the more we think about running away, the more our masters, from our masters, the scared we get of their rebels. Anyhow, Pappy says that we're going to join the Yankees. Well, we about traveled all night, hid in the woods all day, for a long time, but after a while, we get to Dr. Dillard's place. I reckon that he says that we stayed there for several days. The Yankees took this place, so we stopped over. This was a heap of fun dance, and a while we were there, the Yankees tell Pappy to head to New Bern, that he would take care of us there. So to New Bern we went. That was my first experience as a little child. Oh, let me tell you what else I remember. I remember one day Mama came to the big house after me. I was just a little girl. And she said, get your clothes, we're going. And I didn't want to go. I didn't know anything about freedom. I wanted to stay with Polly. Polly was the white lady at the house. And that's where I wanted to stay. I wanted to stay with Polly. I began to cry. Mammy caught hold of me. I grabbed Miss Polly and held her. Oh, don't let Miss Polly, don't let her take me. Now, we're talking about a child that don't want to leave her white slave master to go to her mother. But she doesn't know any better. I grabbed Miss Polly and held her so tight. I tore her skirt. binding loose and her skirt fell down. Let me stay, Mommy, let me stay. And she looked at the lady and she said, you took her away from me. Miss Polly was crying. You took her away from me and didn't pay no mind to my crying.
Muted.
I'm taking my child back home. We're free. We're free. My child is coming home with me. And that's what happened during slave times. The children took to who they've got attention from. Your mother was slaves. And the lady took her child away from her. And she lived to be free to take her child back from this white family. Let me tell you about what they ate. In winter, now this was a man that took care of his slaves. He fed them properly. He really didn't beat them as much, okay? In winter, master killed 300 to 400 hogs. The two killings he done in November and January. Some kill and stick, some scald and scrape, and some dress them and cut them up and render their lard. They haul plenty of hickory wood to the smokehouse, and the men works in shifts to keep the smoke fire going several days. Then they hangs the meat in the meat house. First is meat, listen to this, first us eat all the chitlins. Then master begin issuing out the cut back bones to each family. And then come the spare ribs, and then middle or a shoulder. And by that time, he killed the second time. And this was to go all over again. We'd had to do this all over again. Each family get the same kind of meat. Each week, often we get a ham. They all get a ham. All the ears and the feet was pickled, and we eat them too. And if the meat run out for killing time, we get wild turkeys and kill a beef or a goat or get a deer. Master let us plant pumpkins and have an acre or two for watermelons. And he went on and went on. And this is one of the things that kept slaves on the plantation. When they had plenty to eat, this goes right back to Genesis. When you have plenty to eat, And they were not abused as bad as some of the other farms was. These people were too lazy to really, one of the men said, we could escape from here. But we were satisfied because two times a year, they was allowed shoes, or I'll say an outfit. And it wasn't new, but two times a year, they was allowed an outfit. And they said, then instead of eating cornbread, us eat bread out of a cow for corn and maize or something. So we raised a lot of okra. And they make coffee out of this. It's for the people. They weren't allowed to drink the coffee. But they did, and they made coffee out of it. And this is, these are some of the things that have kept us in bondage. And people, what I'm trying to say, it's coming back again. It's coming back again. It says, for the worst thing that I've ever seen, it was a slave woman, I think I read this before, in Louisiana, who had been sold off from a three-week-old baby. She had been marched to New Orleans. She had walked till she was about to give out and so weak. Now, they took her baby, and she was so weak that she fell down in the middle of the road. She was chained to 20 or 30 other slaves. They stopped to rest in the shade of a big old tree while waiting on their dinner. The slaves ain't had no dinner. And as I pass, this woman begs me in God's name for a drink of water. So I give it to her. I ain't never been so sorry for nobody in my life. The month of August and the sun was bearing down hot on these slaves. And when they leave the shade, they walked for a little piece and this woman fell out dead. She died right on the side of the road, dead. Right there they buried her, cussing and telling me about losing money on her. Oh, Lord Jesus, save us. Isn't that something? Cussing because they lost money on a human being. And I thought about the song, that would say, down at the cross where my Savior died. Down is from sin, do-do-do-do-do. There to my heart was the blood supply. Glory to his name. The things that we go through, the things that we have been through. But what we need to realize is we are still slaves. We are still going through the same thing, is just in a different way. If you're picking up food stamps, you're a slave. If you're going to the check, to the mailbox for your check, you're still a slave. We have to do better. We have to pull out of these situations. But this is what happens. Now, we're talking about women that took care of the children, that babysitted. Listen to this. Her name was Laura Smalley. She was she took care of the children, an older woman. Somebody had to look after the children, so this is what they did. They'd whoop her if the children acted up. They'd whoop the woman if they cried. The old woman didn't try. The old woman would get a whooping if she didn't take care of the children. She would cook for them, and they'd put their food, I think I said this before, in a great big container on the floor and give all the children spoons. And they would get down on the floor and eat out of this big container, whatever it was, soup or oatmeal or whatever it was, they'd eat it. And then after that, they'd ring these bells. Everybody in the field that would hear these bells, they would come up to the house and nurse those children, nurse their children. And it said, when the horn blows, a horn for the mother, you know, they was just like coming up the hill running just like cows, because they knew they had to feed their children and would get beat if they didn't get back to the field in time. If you just tuned in, I'm reading from a book called Remembering Slavery and another one called Slavery. This is Black History Month. Lest we forget where God has brought us from. Lest we forget who brought us from. In some cases, the parents of slaves were forced helplessly to witness their children being beaten by the masters. Former slaves said, you wouldn't dare say anything while your child was being beat. During slavery, it seemed like your children belonged to everybody else but you. Many a day, my old mama had stood and watched Master beat her children till they bled, and she wouldn't open her mouth. They didn't beat us, but they beat those children, and they would beat that mama if she said anything. But through the hardship, slave masters who were able to stay together found strength in one another. Growing up in a slave in Virginia, Frank Bell was blessed to be surrounded by parents, grandparents, and others who shared work as trying to live in accordance. They took care of each other. The slaves supported and took care of each other. And here's a man who says he wanted to, this slave owner was about to die, and he felt that God was going to put him in hell if he did not educate. So he chose one person to educate him. He worked him something terrible, but he educated him to read and write, and he felt that he was going to be saved because he educated him, and he felt that that would save him. If anybody has any comments or anybody that can relate to this, let me know what you think about slavery. Should we celebrate Black History Month? Should we just let it go and ignore it? Here's a story here. Jordan Johnson, it says, husband, this man, or men, it says husbands, always went to the woods when they know that their wives was going to get a whipping. But if they were in the field, they could not leave the field. They had to stay there, not daring to look. But Charlie Jones was one slave when his wife was working in the field. They was planting tobacco. He was setting out, and she was healing. That's what they called it, H-I-L-L-I-N. And she was pregnant. He would set her out, and she would put the dirt around it. I think that's healing. Annie was big with child, getting near her time. So one day she made a slip and chopped a young shoot down. Old man Diggs, the overseer, came running up, screaming at her, made her more nervous, and she chopped off another one. What'd she do that for? He took a rawhide belt and beat her across the back and shoulders till she fell on the ground. And all her husband could do was just stand there, looking up at the sky, not daring to look at her or say a word. I thought about the song, said, Lord, help me to hold out. Lord, help me to hold out. Lord, help me to hold out until my change comes. And I thought about, what did slaves do about church? Did they have church? This lady says, I never remember no church. I don't remember nothing about no church. Mama said the only church I can remember about, we'd have a big tub. Now listen to this. They'd get a big tub and fill it with water. And when they'd sit around this big tub of water, that would make their voice amplify. It would amplify their voice. And they would pretend that they was all having church around this tub. I guess they would have a preacher and all this. But she remembers one time, the old master didn't want them to have no church. She says she didn't want, he didn't want no church, and he didn't want no praying. And the master came over one day, and one of the men was praying. And he said he was down there praying, just to pray. And old master, when he walked in the door, and he says, stop praying. And he wouldn't stop. He said, he let me know what he called him, the N-word, told him, you better stop praying. He didn't get up. He just kept praying. And he say, oh, master's commenced to whipping me. Please, Lord, save master. He quit praying and asked the Lord to have mercy on the master. But he kept on, went on back to praying. Lord, have mercy on the master. Lord, have mercy on the master. The master beat him with a bull whip. And he hollered during his prayer, Lord, please save the master. Have mercy on the master. He said the man didn't even flinch. He just kept taking them beatings and beatings and beatings. Oh, and I thought about this song, so I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around. I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. I'm going to meet you in the heaven one day. Hey, I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Turn me around. They gonna turn me around. I ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. You see, I'm going to a higher ground. And the interviewer that was talking to this lady, he said, could you have done that? Could you have done that? She said, Lord, I know it had to be the Lord who suffered him to stay down and get a whooping like he got and just keep praying. And I think I'd jump up. I know I'd probably have jumped up. I'd have had to jump up. I'd have had to jump up. I couldn't have did that. I couldn't have stayed there. He said, well, tell me about when people begin to get married out there. How did the marriaging go? What did they do when they got married? She said, well, about getting married, they told us in order to get married, we'd have to jump over a brook backwards. I don't know. They told me just jump over the broom backwards. I don't know. I don't know something. But I remember they said, don't have to ask master. Don't keep it quiet. Don't ask master. Just go to Aunt Susie and tell her you want to get married. So they went to Aunt Susie. She tells us to think about it hard for 2 days. But marriage was safely in the eyes of Jesus, sacred in the eyes of Jesus. And after 2 days, Moses and I went in to say, we done thought about it. We still wants to get married. Then she called all the slaves and after task to pray for the, and she called all the slaves. And after she talked and prayed with us, the union was made. Pray that we stay together and have lots of children and none of them get sold away from their parents. Then she laid a broomstick across the door, the sill of the house, and we're going to live in and join our hands together. And before we step over, we ask one more time if she's sure, if we were sure we wanted to get married. Of course, we said yes. Then she said, in the eyes of Jesus, step into the holy land of matrimony. When we step across the broomstick, we was married. You see, it was bad luck to touch the broomstick. Folks always said, hi, step. Because if you don't want no spell cast on them, Aunt Sue used to say, whichever one touched the stick was going to die first. You see, we slaves know that words wasn't, that them words wasn't binding. They didn't mean less than you say. What God done joined together, can't no man put asunder. But they never would say that. The white man would never say that when they married us. That no man, what God has joined together, can no man put asunder. But they would never, never say that to us. And that was what they talked about in the marriage. So we want to go, let me see, page 308. 308. Yes.
You asked, should we celebrate Black history?
Yes.
There is one thing that always puzzles me, and is this, often
our father had a little weight, something. And then at night when we would sleep on the floor, they'd be in the bed, they'd make us a little pallet on the floor upstairs. We heard all those beautiful stories about, you know what I'm saying? And so we were free to sing. We sang. That's what people used to do, families.
Yeah, they did. And my grandparents, by the way, my great-grandparents were slaves.
See?
And, yeah, they were. And I can remember my dad, he wouldn't talk about it a whole lot. But I've read, of course, stories about slavery. And some of the songs, like you said, that they learned, they would sing right before the slave was getting ready to run away, too. They start singing songs as a distraction.
Yeah.
But, I came in a little late, but did you say your family was also slaves?
I'm sure there were some of them. I didn't know them to be.
Okay.
But I'm saying we've all originated from.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, and it's not. It's
I'm proud of it. I am not ashamed.
Oh no, we should not be ashamed. Look what God has done for His people.
Amen.
We are strong. We are a strong people, physically, mentally. Or there'd have been no way we could go through what we were put through. There was a reason that we entered in life in that time. There was a reason. It's like first you send in a foundation. We were the foundation of these Americas. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
They just did, and wait a minute, I understand in many instances that whites didn't know how to bathe and keep their house clean and do all that. Blacks came in and started all that. They were the housekeepers and the cooks and the this. No, they were the seamstress. They were the one that run the country.
That's right. With the
but farm. Over a period of time, those things had been...
They knew how to farm?
Yes. They did it all. They raised the tobacco. They did. And let me tell you, there was one story where some of them had bad tempers. Some of them, like, I'm not going to do that. So they traded those off. But there was one lady in particular, she was pregnant. And she got in an argument. And before she knew it, she slapped the lady of the house. And when they found out about that, she ran off into the woods. And somebody went to the fields and told her husband. And he found her. He put her in a cave. She had that baby in a cave. She had like three or four of them. And they kept telling her, tell her she can come back. She can come back. But for years she didn't come back. They said when they finally got her. Now, the slave knew where she was. They fed them and kept them. When they come out of that cave, the children were covered with hair.
Oh,
they were like animals. And I think about the Lord telling us to go to the country, get out of the city. We better wake up. You hear me? We better wake up because the cities are centers for drugs and alcohol and killing and break-ins. And with people having drugs, they are not controlling. They have no control over their mind. They don't have any control over their mind. And whatever Satan tells them to do, that's what they're going to do. Whatever Satan tells them to do. But I feel that if we knew more about who we were, if young people knew, we had a group of young people working in my yard. What happened? We got a grant to do a garden and clean up our neighborhood. And they would tell me, Miss Haney, I ain't no slave. Well, Miss Haney, if you think I'm going to eat this, I said, well, where do you think tomatoes come from and green peppers and this comes from and blah, blah, blah. The market. Now you're thinking, oh, this is a joke, but But those young people didn't know how to use a broom. They didn't know what a rake was. They didn't know how to clean up by themselves. But I bet if you ask them where the wine was, where the closest drug house is, they can tell you that. And they don't realize that they are being kept. I'll tell you something else. Youngstown, Ohio was known for their steel mills. But now they're known for their steel bars. Because we have like three prisons in Youngstown. So if you're in business and you have three prisons, what are you going to use as fillers? Oh, I'll tell you what they're using for fillers. Your schools. They're dumbing down students. They can't read, they can't write, they come out of school, they can't read and they can't write. So they get in trouble. So what happens when you get in trouble? First you go to a juvenile center, then you end up in a prison. People do not think we must insist and work with our children to see that they become educated.
And you're right, Sister Haney, because I was also reading where this young man said he on a blog that he had, and he made a comparison. He said, you know, if a white young man is on drugs, the powers that be will put him in rehabilitation.
Hear that?
But if a black person is on drugs, he is in jail in prison for 13 years.
Yes.
And that is the reality of it.
It's a reality because that is what it's a plan. It's not coincidence.
It is.
It is no coincidence what happens to your children. And they're looking for boys. If your child is not, if your child is disobedient, he's going to listen to somebody. Somebody's going to boss your children. Somebody's going to have authority over your family. If we don't do it, if we don't train our children from young, and a lot of times what we seem to do, go over there and sit down, be quiet. You know, go to your room, so on, so on, so on, so on. If we paid attention, we would know that some of what we get from our children is their talent. They could be good speakers. Or you can. But what do they grow up doing today? If they can't sing and dance, they don't want to do nothing. They don't want to do anything. But to me, if we had our... Wait a minute, Jason. How are you doing?
Good.
If our churches would get together and realize that our children must be trained. Sister White encouraged us to build what first? A school. We weren't supposed to build cathedrals. We were to educate our children.
Amen.
Youngstown.
This was back then.
Youngstown used to be beautiful. I know it for a fact because I still got relatives in that area. They moved out. They moved to Warren, Richmond Heights. But it's nothing like it used to be.
No, it's different. Well, we had the steel mills. We had things where people made livings, a decent living. But now, you know, most people, and I listen to the women on the line that are on the line right now. A lot of them have jobs where they go in and take care of patients and take care of things like that. But that's not a lot of money. We're talking about being able to at least make a living, a decent living. So you are limited to the amount of finance that you can even make legally. You're limited. So young people say, I'm not going to work. I'm not going to take that. I don't have to get up. I don't have to do this. But we're paying for it. Jason, did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I wanted to know about the church in slavery. Did they have churches at the time, or did it come later on, like the churches, you know?
Okay, one part of the book said that white folks had church in the morning.
Black
folks could go back at night to use the same church.
Okay.
They had their own different services.
Right.
Some people did not allow their people at all to go to church. So I'm sure they had their church in the privacy of their homes.
Right.
Some people had nice dwelling places, nice shanties. Other people had to fight the cold and the wind and, you know, all this.
The worship was different, the worship was different, though, right?
I don't know about the worship being different, but I would say that it was probably much more sincere.
Yeah.
And not only much more sincere, but we didn't have all the things that you go through in church. They got right down to business when it got, you know,
exactly.
They probably prayed. They they probably spent their time praying and singing. That's just my thought. Anybody else have a comment?
I was going to say that when we used to say that when you can have church in a school, you can't have school in the church, talking about educating the children first, you know, that was the first priority.
Yeah, that was the first priority. That was the first priority, to build a place where the children would learn but that's not what happened. Right now we're spending money for fine Ephesus, beautiful, you know, big fine churches and all.
And it was a lot worse, right, than these movies they make. Like, it was a lot worse than these movies they make, like Denzel Washington and some of the other actors that make these movies. It was a lot different than what they seem in the movie, right? Or
I would imagine, because it's real. It's real in life. Anytime you're stripped down in front of people and marched through crowds and people bidding on you. Hey, wait a minute. What, man? I didn't get this, y'all. You could take a slave to the bank and mortgage the slave. You could get money for a mortgage slave. You take them back home with you, but they seen them, weighed them, I guess, and all that. And you could get so much money to buy your produce and stuff. Meanwhile, you got mortgaged. You could take a human being and get money for them.
But I will say this. On the man that you said that just kept praying while his master was beating him. My dad wasn't quite a slave, but he was like a slave child. I mean, he went through that. He got a chance to see what his grandparents went through. And for the longest time growing up, we didn't even know that my dad had went through partial slavery. He never said racial slurs. He never said, "I hate the white man." I hate what he did to me. He never said that. We were brought up with love. And in his heart, they just refused. He did. He refused to hate what the white man had did to them and his family and slavery. And I was blessed because...
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Because a lot of people that even come home from the army get beat and shot and killed and all because of the things that they experience in today's wars.
Don't you think we're supposed to be role models at this time? You know, even though, I mean, they should, you know, like the youth, you know, the black youth, supposed to be role models. You know, they should learn from, you know, these things, but they're still getting into.
But you can't. Yes, they should be role models, but Jason, how are you going to be a role model about something you do not know? Because it's not being taught in the home.
Right.
It's not taught in the schools.
Yeah.
So to them, they're just sorry people. So that's the way they act. That's the way they act. When you can't read, you know what? Let me tell you something.
I have dyslexia. I'm a person that doesn't read as well. I have that problem with reading and spelling and so forth.
Mm-hmm. But
problem.
Jason, today... That's not an excuse for children born today, because they have all kind of ways to teach whatever you have.
Nowadays.
But see, beforehand, go on, honey.
I was going to say my dad had to quit school and go work. He only had a sixth grade education. He had to go work in the cotton fields. So he didn't have the education and chances we had today. In fact, you get to go to school free. And if you go to college, you can still go to most community colleges for free, too.
Mm-hmm.
He never got that opportunity.
See, that made a big difference. That made a big difference. Mm-hmm. But today, what I want to tell you, parents have to be aware of a teacher that does not like her students. She can give them a look that kills them for the rest of their life. There's a way she could look at them. There's a way she could reach them and ignore them and pass them by. And when you go home and you say, "Mama, that teacher don't like me," what does parents say usually? Well, what did you do?
See,
how do you explain a look to your parents? In other words, why don't they think, "Well, maybe I better look into this. Maybe the teacher does not like me." What is the real problem? What is the complaint?
I went through that, like, with my parents, you know, when I first, my mother didn't teach me as growing up like they teach now, like, you know, teach your children before, prepare your children education before they go to school, like, right, you know, studying with them and everything. I didn't get that. When I had to go to first grade and go to school, when I first started going to school, elementary, they was already writing in script. They was doing script on the board and everything. Everybody was educated except for me. And I didn't get that. You know, my mother didn't follow into it and nothing like that. I was like a dummy going to first grade, didn't know what to do. You know, I had dyslexia, but it was just that she expected the teacher. My mother expects, a lot of parents expect the teacher to teach their kids, but not prepare them for what they're going to go through when they go to school.
Yeah, but that's not the way it should be. And I'll tell you something else. We should not put the responsibility of a teacher to train their children. Exactly. And we should not send our children to school too early. They should be with their parents until up to a certain age, because those are formative years.
And I realized my friends, their parents were teaching them. They was teaching them. I found out later, like, you know, their parents working with them, you know what I mean, and educating them. And, you know, I guess, you know, some parents just brought up the right way, you know, I mean, teach the kids the right way, and some just have fun.
Yes. Well, let me tell you what we're going to do.
I don't hold it to them. I just deal with it.
You just deal with it. You just deal with it. We don't know how we deal with it, but we deal with it, right? So what I want to tell you is, we don't ever leave, when you're talking about something, you don't leave it down.
And I think the reason why is because we don't know Christ. You know, I think a lot of times we let astray, you know, because our family background, either how we was raised, if we was raised Catholic or whatever. But I'm pretty sure a lot of time my mother got witnessed to go to church and stuff like that, to friends and whatever, maybe, but nothing went, never penetrated back then.
Yeah.
You know, to go to church and, you know, but, you know, we still had that racial issue with,
But you know, praise the Lord, you have the chance now.
Yeah, I'm glad I know the Bible. I'm glad somebody showed me the Bible and, you know, showed me that it's just through the Bible.
Let me read a little bit as we end of Hebrews 11.
You remember me?
Yeah, I remember you. Yeah, I remember you. Let me read a little bit about Hebrews 11. I thought it was some of the things I just wanted to share. We're talking about people who went through but never received the promises. They believed that the Lord was coming. They believed that he was coming back, but they were taken away before this time came. And it says they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered through in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. But God has better things for us. And I'd like right now for you to hear Revelation 21. My aunt is on the line. Would you please read Revelation 21, beginning with number 1 down through 4, and then I'd ask you to sing for us. Aunt Henrietta. I hope she didn't get cut off. Aunt Henrietta, are you on the line? See if you can push *6 if you're not on the line. *6. And if you can't,
what does he want to read?
I'm going to read it if she doesn't come. We're going to read Revelation 21, beginning with the first verse, reading down through 4. Hello? Someone, please *6 your phone so we don't hear your radio. *6 your phone. chapter 21. Let me get started because the time is winding up. And I thought, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Is Aunt Henrietta on the line? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And listen to this part. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Isn't that something to think about? And God, not just any old body. You know how your mama might wipe your tears away or something. But these tears are going to be wiped away by God.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Hello, is this Aunt Henrietta?
Yes, it is. I've heard your whole program, but I think you heard me.
Yes, I did.
I heard you call on me to read, but I still didn't get no response back.
Okay, well, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this fourth verse because I read it all.
Okay.
Listen, you stop. Do you have your Bible open for chapter 21?
Yes, I do.
Well, you read.
I do have it there.
And then you sing. Oh, I'm so glad to hear. And Glennie, are you on the phone?
Yes.
Oh, hi. It's a family affair. Okay, go ahead on, Aunt Henry.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea.
Come on now.
And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people,
yes.
And God himself shall be with them and be their God.
And
God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Yes.
And there shall be no more death.
Death.
Neither sorrow.
Yes.
Nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain.
Yes.
For the former things are passed away.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to share with you a little song behind on the heel of that inspiring scripture.
Yes.
Goes like this. Is there anyone can help us?
Come on now.
One who understands our heart. When the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us, who in wondrous love imparts. Just the very, very blessing that we need.
Yes,
there's one, only one, the blessed Jesus, he's the one. When affliction press the soul, when waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend to help you, he's the one.
Yes.
Is there anyone can help us who can give a sinner peace? When his heart is burdened down with pain and woe, who can speak the word of pardon that affords a sweet relief, and who's
blood can wash and make us white as snow. Is there anyone can help us when the end is drawing near? Who will go through death's dark waters by our side? Who will light the way before us and dispel all doubt and and will bear our spirits safely all the time.
Amen.
Oh, yes, there's one.
Oh, yes,
there's only one.
And God.
Blessed Jesus, he's the one.
Mm-hmm.
When affliction press the soul,
yeah.
When waves of trouble roll, and you need a friend to help you,
we start with, when you need a friend to help me do that part. When you need a friend, do that again.
Yes, there's one.
Yes, that's it.
Only one.
Only one.
The blessed Jesus. He's the one. When affliction press the soul, when waves of trouble roll,
hallelujah,
and you need
a
friend to help you.
He's the one. She just had a birthday. I don't know if she tells her age, but I'll just say she had a birthday. If she would like to tell you, it's up to her. Would you like to, or I don't tell mine, but it's up to you what you want.
It's okay. I thank the Lord for having blessed the old girl with 92 years.
92 years?
Been running along.
Do y'all hear that 92-year-old voice?
Whoa. Wow.
92 years.
Yesterday I was 92 years old.
92
Happy
years.
Birthday, Aunt Henrietta. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Beautiful song. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad
I've got
that old time religion. I'm glad I've got that old time religion. I'm glad I've got that old time religion. I've got it. Now listen, on Sunday, I got that old time religion. On Monday, I've got that old time religion. On Tuesday, I got that old time religion. I got it. I'm going to go through it again. Now, the day that you came into the truth, if you remember, that's the day you joined me. I'm going to start with Sunday. On Sunday, I got that old time religion. On a Sunday, I've got that old time religion. On Sunday, I got that old time religion. I've got it, I do. On Monday, I've got that old time religion. On Monday, I've got that old time religion. On Monday, I got my old time religion. Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, I've got it. On Tuesday, I've got that old time religion. On Tuesday, I've got that old time religion. On Tuesday, I've got that old time religion. I got it, I got it, I got it. Somebody got it on a Wednesday. On Wednesday, I got that old time religion. On Wednesday, I got that old time religion. On Wednesday, I got that old time religion. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I got it.
What about Thursday?
Go
on
ahead.
Thursday, I got that old, somebody said old religion. On Thursday,
I got that old time religion.
On Thursday, I got that old time religion. Hallelujah, I've got it.
Somebody got it on Friday.
On Sabbath, I got that old time religion. On Sabbath, I got that old time religion. On Sabbath, I got that old time religion. Hallelujah, hallelujah, I got it.
And praise the
Lord. I'm glad. That old time religion.
Praise
the Lord. Isn't that something? When did you get it? Where were you at when God touched your heart?
On Sunday.
I got it. Whatever I got. We've got just a few minutes. I want to say that I thank you for your support on the program. And I'd like to now pray on the Joneses and the Scott families that are coming on next. And I have a little closing song. Like I said, when you talk to people about things of this nature, you need to leave them happy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the program today on slavery. This is Black History Month. If we knew more about ourselves, we'd know why we do stupid stuff. Like the Sabbath School said, we'd ask for wisdom more. I think this week's Sabbath School calls us some names that we don't want to be in the Bible. Our Sabbath School lessons are right on time, and we need to pay attention to what we are missing. And we don't need to be ashamed of the things that happen to us. We all need a breakthrough. We all need a breakthrough. I ask that you be with our people as they come on the air. The Joneses and the Scotts will be next. I'm going to play just a little bit of this song, and then I'm going to welcome them on. Again, this has been Breakthrough. My name is Sister Catherine Hawkshaney, and I want you to listen closely to the words of this song. Just take a listen, and you'll understand what I'm trying to portray.
Sister Haney, thank you for the program. Sister Jones, are you there?
Hi.
Yes,
Jones,
I am here. Could I just pray for Sister Henrietta for her birthday?
Oh, yes.
So, Henrietta, are you still on the line?
I'm still on the line.
So praise the Lord. Loving Father, this evening we thank you for your goodness. Praise you for your love. We thank you for what we've just heard. Thank you for the gift and talent that you've given to our Sister Haney. And Father, I know she has come from good lineage, good, solid lineage. And so I want to praise and thank you for Sister Henrietta. Thank you for 92 years that you have given to your daughter.
Yes.
And Father, we hear the strength and the passion that she has for you. And so I pray tonight that you will continue to go ahead of your daughter.
Yes.
And everyone that she comes in contact with, may they know that she has been with Jesus. I pray that you will lighten her load. I pray as she talks to you in her secret time, you will attend to everything that concerns Sister Henrietta. Bless her, I pray. Bless Sister Haney, and there's another aunt I believe.
Aunt Glennie. Aunt Glennie.
Oh, Father, give her a blessing to an old of his feet. I pray that you will supply their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And Father, continue to fit us for the kingdom. And then one day, the earth made new, we will sing our songs of freedom.
Yes,
rejoicing with Jesus, Jesus, who came to set us free. May we live in freedom, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Here's the song. I'll be right off. Listen closely to the words. That's what it is. Somehow we're going to make it.
Amen.
To the other side.
Sister,
Brother Scott and Sister Jones.
Who's that? Who's that by?
You're supposed to ask that. Wait a minute. Let me look and see.